Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Space trash.
Trash in space.
Space trash.
Lifestyles, the rich and Uranus.
Space trash.
Celebrities, they're trash, but the astrology can help us understand.
Transmission incoming.
Greetings, trashlings, and welcome back to another episode of Space Trash.
Lost us. Did you reach Uranus? And I'm Sarah Armour.
And I'm Molly Mulshine, and it is time for that 70s show, Reckoning.
Absolutely. This has been a long and drawn out court case against Danny Masterson.
Guilty.
He got 30 years for rape, which is unheard of. Like, I mean, this is like, oh, he did it. Like,
right.
They do not give out sentences like this for sexual crimes. I'm glad yeah. They did, but yeah. They never do. So it's really wild. I don't think we need to spend too much time on like the ins and outs of the court case, because first of all, it's creepy and gross and depressing.
The reason that this trial went well is because they had enough accusers that said the same thing. And there's proof in this case that they did not collude. Like, they told separate people long ago about what happened to them with him. All of it includes being drugged and raped. They all were Scientology kids. They all went to the Scientology HQ and said, hey, I think it was drugged and raped. And they were like, never tell anyone. We deal with this in-house. He was convicted of two rapes, resulting in 30 years. It could have been 45 years, except that the third Jane Doe, because they were technically dating, there was a hung jury on. So instead of being 45 years to life, he got 30 years to life. Now, all of them were Scientologists. All of them were told not only to not tell anybody outside of Scientology world because they would be known as like suppressive people or whatever, but they also said that law, Scientology law goes that if you're dating someone, they can't rape you. You're dating.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I read about that. That's so
insane.
Which
is so insane. It's so
sick. Why would you even have a law about that?
Because you're raping your girlfriend.
Yeah. The thing that stood out to me the most, and I didn't read a ton of coverage on the trial itself. I think the Ashton and Mila angle is much more in our wheelhouse and what we're actually going to cover.
But totally.
The thing that did stand out to me a lot in the trial was not only his alleged actions, according to all the testimony of these women, but just how mean he was.
Like, yeah.
It seemed like he was maybe roofying them, because they would be like, oh, I had one drink and then 45 minutes later, I was totally out of it. And then
absolutely.
Like, they would come to, and not only would he be doing disgusting things to them, but he would then talk down to them and curse them off and be like, get in the fucking bed. Like, he was like cartoonishly awful to these women, and it's just gross.
Scientology is an inextricable character in this as well, because per the religion's laws, victims are not permitted to go to the police. People that support him are saying like they used him as like a scapegoat for this larger attack on Scientology that they're trying to make. And it's like, no, it's all par for the course here.
Yeah, it's built in.
It's built in. And he is the shepherd walking us to the water where we will drink from the, oh, obviously this is part of the culture.
They also have this belief, which I can see why this is a very helpful belief for a lot of other scenarios, not sexual assault and rape, but this belief that whatever shitty situation you find yourself in, you are you got yourself into it and you have to get yourself out of it. And I actually like love that idea. We could all use a little bit more of that. A lot of us these days that are us our age and younger, we're whiny a little bit, but not when it comes to sexual assault. Like, no, there is nothing. That's like being the victim of a crime is not a situation you got yourself into, no matter what, no matter how drunk you were, no matter what corner alley you were walking down, which is never where rapes take place anyway. It's always with someone you trust. Totally. But like, it's like, I can see where that mindset, as especially as the cornerstone of a religion that is sort of has roots in kind of like 60s, 70s self-help vibes, I can see why it would be really helpful in a lot of other scenarios. But just for the record, not when it comes to literally people doing crimes to you. It's not your fault. It's like,
straight up. And like, I think that's why the Ashton Mila did an apology where they're like, look, Danny's camp asked us to write to the judge. And it's like, let's talk about when that happened first.
The first thing that happened is, you know, when someone goes on trial, they ask people in their life to write them.
I did not know that was a thing.
Yeah, it's a letter about their character, and it's not meant to sway the verdict, because obviously you can't write to the jurors. It's meant to influence the judge to give the person a more lenient sentence based on, like, depending on whatever they're charged with. The judge still chooses in most cases how much jail time or how much whatever they have to do, how much restitution they have to pay, whatever.
Sure.
The jury decides whether they're guilty and the judge decides what the punishment will be. So you write these, you ask the people that are close to you to write these letters to the judge in hopes that they will have a more lenient punishment for you. So we've seen this in Real Housewives of New Jersey, because Caroline Manzo's family members famously wrote a letter defending her brother-in-law who hired thugs to beat her sister, her own sister.
Okay. Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
He was found guilty the other day as well. And like,
wonderful.
I'm dying to hear Caroline's defense of it, because I don't know. The same thing happened where Iggy Azalea's letter that she had written in defense of the short guy, Tory Lanez, shooting Megan Thee Stallion in the foot. And it's
guilty.
Just like, yeah, it's just like, it's they write the letter saying, well, you know, this person's always been nice to me.
It's so like, yeah, of course they have. They haven't committed a crime against you.
Right. Exactly. And like, criminals are really good at leading double lives.
That's the whole thing with being a criminal.
Yeah. It's just so ugh. But so Ashton and Mila wrote these character statements about him to the judge. My favorite thing in it was like, oh, you know, it would be a crime to take him away from his daughter for so long.
A tertiary. What is tertiary crime?
It means a third, like a tertiary crime is like a third hand crime. I don't know what the first two crimes were.
I guess rape.
Right. That's the crazy thing about Ashton's letter, is that he kind of was like, you know, even if he did do this,
take a baby away from his rapey dad.
Right. It's like, no, she should definitely grow up without that dad, especially because she's going to have all this 70s show residuals anyway. The little girl is going to grow up rich without a rapist in her house. Win-win.
Right. He gave her whatever he could.
Yeah. So my favorite thing in Ashton's letter was that he mentioned that Danny Masterson is never late for things.
What?
He's always on time. That was part of his.
No, that's like red flags to me, though. We actually were supposed to start 3 hours ago, Mal.
I know. It is weird when people are on time. It's
time's
like, get a life.
The least of our concerns.
Yeah. Get a life on time. Get out of here.
On time. Well, no, to me, the creepiest, I don't even know, like, is it worth you, like, maybe reading their letter? But like, to me, the creepiest thing about the letter was that he was like, Danny's one of the only people that I would trust my daughters with. And it's like,
that was
so
weird.
Why the fuck?
I don't know if they knew he was found guilty when they wrote the letters, but this is now, let's get past the letters. Now what's happening? Because of these two letters, they've been going viral on Twitter. Everybody is like, what the hell are these idiots thinking? Why would you do this? Blah, blah, blah. As a result, Now, this is the crazy. This is where the astrology first starts to rear its head.
Can't wait.
This is our second grooming conversation in a week.
Yes.
In Virgo season. Virgo is the virgin. Virgo is young women. This is the second. Our first conversation was about Joe Jonas and Sophie Turner. Obviously, she was over 18 the first time he messaged her. So, like, you really can't, you can't
we
really
think,
call it,
We think.
We can't call it grooming, really. But it's, like, you know, it was part of the conversation around.
If teen is in your age, you're young.
Yeah. Yeah. It's part of the conversation that people are having about the Joe Jonas and Sophie Turner thing. And now people are digging up old clips of Mila Kunis and Ashton Kutcher talking about their time on That 70s Show. So this Twitter user named Koli Kat, K-O-L-I-I-K-A-T, she has compiled a string of interviews of Mila Kunis and Ashton Kutcher talking about their time on the show. At least one of them was picked up by the New York Post. Page Six wrote about this Rosie O'Donnell interview that's been making the rounds, where Ashton and Mila talk about how she, the first time they ever kissed, Danny Masterson bet him $10 or $20 to stick his tongue in her mouth. This was when she was 14. All the ages are a little fuzzy, because the thing
I don't know if that's good radio. That's actually me vomiting.
Yeah. All the ages are a little fuzzy with all these clips, because you don't know if she's 14, 15, 16, 17 or 18, which is like, it shouldn't matter because they're all so young. But
well, it's also anyway. A testament to Mila's genes, because she actually still looks the same, and go Mila for that.
I know. So there's just all these clips, like clips of her saying, yeah. So here's the Rosie one where she is rolling her eyes at him, and Rosie O'Donnell is like, did you get arrested for doing that? Like, Rosie is sort of hinting, because the first thing that you and I saw was like someone was passing around a clip of him talking about like, oh, Mila's almost legal or something like that. Right. And we both kind of were like, OK, yeah, that's really disgusting. But literally, that's how every bro behaved in the 2000s.
Right. Like, and we have space for it because we sort of remember the days.
Yeah. But then you see all these other clips and it becomes so much worse. Like,
well, but here's what I want to ask you, though, because weren't Mila and Ashton a couple on the show?
Yes. So
I also think there's something extremely confusing about that when you're being cast as normal peers for television and kissing, but then she's actually a super minor and you're not.
Yeah, like, look at her in this clip, how small and young she looks. And she is pushing him down in a car. I'm sending it to you.
Share screen. Like, you want to share screen? Just play, show it.
Oh, that'll take longer. Just click.
Okay,
on
yeah,
it.
I see.
It's like, you can see she is a baby in this clip where she's pushing him down in the car. And it's like, to do what? To give him a beach, to make out with them. Like, she was so young and she was put in all these super adult situations, like, because of the way the show was written. And that wouldn't be a problem necessarily in and of itself. Like, it's definitely not great. But like, even worse than the way that the show was written is the way that Ashton talks about her in all these interview clips that this person has compiled. Like this one where she is introducing, she's saying something like, hi, I'm Mila Kunis and like, welcome to Disney Channel. It's not that, but it's something similar. She's announcing something. She's introducing something. She's clearly 14 years old. She seems so nervous. She's got all this really nervous energy. She's sitting on a couch and then she moves over and Ashton Kutcher is behind her. She's been sitting on his lap the whole time. And then he says, I'm only in this video because they said that she would sit on my lap. And he goes, it feels so good, doesn't it? And he starts like tickling her and holding her down and she can't get up. And she looks so uncomfortable and she's laughing along to act like it's cool. And she's fitting in with the older guys. Like, it's disgusting. And then there's another clip where he's on some sort of talk show and he's like, oh, and now I want to introduce the hot and sexy Mila Kunis. And they cut to her and she looks like she is skipping math class to be there. Like, she looks so young. So it's like, he is in his early, is he's like 20, 21, 22 in most of these clips, I think. And she's in her mid-teens and he is openly perving on her. And he's like literally in the one clip where she's sitting on his lap, he is holding her down on his lap.
I'm so grateful that we're like in this new phase of like outing abusers and reclaiming our boundaries, yeah, and rewriting the rules. But like 90s kids were raised, like, remember when Mary-Kate and Ashley turned 18? It was like, finally.
Yeah, grown men being like, the,
yeah. I totally understand where she would not only marry Ashton, but shove all of the weird teenage stuff under the rug.
Back then, you were the cool girl if you, right, if you giggled along.
Right. Like,
there was absolutely no space to call out that sort of behavior. I would call it out because my mom like raised me that way. And guess what? It makes people fucking hate you. Like, it's not a good way to like really make friends, you know? So it's a good way to like ruin parties and stuff in the 2000s. Because like that was just... And it is like, I do think that a lot of guys at that time took part in that culture out of an effort to fit in. And that's what I thought in the first clip that we saw him, where he's like, oh, she's almost 18. It's like everyone said that back then. But then when you look at all these other clips, it becomes more and more, it crosses a line for me into like, oh no, he was going out of his way to talk about how hot and sexy his minor co-star was repeatedly. And the one where he's physically holding her down to like tickle her, that is where I'm just like, that is beyond, like the culture opened the door and then he was like, oh, fuck yeah.
He's really towing the line. Whereas I think his buddy, Danny Masterson, went clearly above the line.
But also, Ashton is being more open about it on television. There's one clip of her with Danny where she's talking about the outfits that she has to wear and how she's like, she's so nice. And she's like, I love our wardrobe department. They're so good. They do such a good job. It's just because we have to wear the clothes of this time period. They're so unflattering, blah, blah, blah. And then Danny Masterson is sitting next to her and he's like, well, you look fucking hot in it. And it's just like, oh. Is that helpful? Like,
planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Shut up. It was such a status symbol for men in that era. And, you know, every era, but especially, like, I always say with the late 90s, 2000s, even into the early 2010s, we were at this place where we were able to talk about sex more openly, but, like, it was men who got to do it. So right. It was like, it was, yeah. It was like a status symbol for, it's always been a status symbol for men to like objectify women openly and to talk about like, oh, this girl's hot. Like, but this time period was where it started to go like cross line a little bit more because we had this level of sexual openness without the corresponding, like without women really expressing the same thing, or even if you did, it was completely toothless because it's like it's menacing when it comes from a man. Like when you're sitting next to your coworker and he's like, yeah, you look fucking hot, it's like it's not,
thank you so much,
it's dehumanizing.
Thank
it's
you so much up. You have told me I'm hot, thank you so
yeah
much.
It's like you're supposed, that's what you were supposed to do back then, is just be like, right, oh good, I'm accepted.
Yes,
I'm accepted. I'm hot. By the boys. But the right. the thing that's really hard talking about this too is like, you don't ever want to tell a woman who doesn't see herself as a victim, for lack of a better word, that she is the victim. Like Mila Kunis is an adult now, and we have to give her the benefit of the doubt, I guess, that like she is a big girl and she made the choice to marry him because she wanted to and not because she's been, he's been secretly grooming her for 20 years. You know what I mean? Like, we, it's not really cool to put this on her, what the entire internet is putting on her right now. We haven't heard from her.
What do you feel like the internet at large is putting on her?
I feel the internet at large is saying she's a victim and she's brainwashed and like she couldn't possibly be happy in her marriage because of these 7 clips that are circulating, you know, like, and I do think that the clips are, while the clips are incredibly disturbing and made me nauseous to watch some of them.
Yeah.
It's still like, we can't make that leap on her behalf.
Well, and before this whole thing, what I would say, aside from me being totally fucking furious on the kid's behalf for their stance on we're going to let him grow up poor, which is like, what?
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
What the fuck would you do? I'm holding on to that. I'm pissed about that. But
wait, let me find that so we can remind everyone.
That, okay, let us remind you. I guess like the thing for me is I actually have always really liked them as a couple. And we can look at the astrology and I'm looking at it right now. They actually are a match.
Best case, yeah, I get what you're saying. The best case scenario is that he was just going along with the culture and trying to seem cool.
They were kissing on screen.
Right, which is a systemic problem.
It's like Scientology's one example of what a myriad of larger examples where we've just been given horrible guidance from the top down.
Right. Like, well, I guess I think my question would be like, and we don't know the answer to this, but it's a rhetorical question. Would Danny Masterson still have been raping people if he wasn't a Scientologist? Seems right. Like, yeah. Yeah.
I feel like he would only because of that leprechaun outfit in 2007 or whatever.
Yeah, he looks rapey. And like, I just don't think, I mean, if you're a rapist, you're a rapist. If someone told you you could get away with raping someone, would you just suddenly want to rape someone? No,
probably not. Probably not. Yeah,
like it's a, but then my other question is like, if Ashton Kutcher wasn't literally like getting paid to fake a relationship with this 14-year-old girl, would he have still been attracted to her?
Wow.
Because in other interviews, he said, like he said on Howard Stern, it was really weird because she was 14 and I felt like she was my little sister and I had to like have this charade going on that we were dating. So like, was he making up all of that to sell a TV show?
Right. They were paid to sell this relationship.
In that Rosie O'Donnell interview, she seemed pissed off. So like, who knows, maybe behind closed doors, they've had this conversation and they've hashed it out. And she's been like, you know what, Ashton, it really pissed me off that you did this, all of this stuff. You perved on me. You said I was hot and sexy on television. You accepted a bet from this fucking rapist to stick your tongue down my throat. I understand you were trying to be cool and be one of the guys. And that really pisses me off. Like, maybe they've hashed it out behind closed doors. Sure. Maybe she feels comfortable that like he was making
under
mistakes.
The influence of culture.
Like, but also it's, I don't know. We don't know. We won't know. We aren't going to know.
What I do think is interesting, fast forward, so much of his life is now spent in congressional hearings, apparently, exposing the child trafficking rings.
Yeah, this is weird as fuck. Why did he gravitate toward child trafficking when he was getting paid to kiss a minor on camera?
Right, right.
It was a form of child trafficking. Like, famously, Mila Kunis lied about her age to get onto that 70s show, which, again, she was a minor, so who gives a shit? It's not to blame her for doing that, but the thing is, like, the people making the show, when they found out how old she really was, should have said, oh, never mind. Sorry. Call us again in 4 years. Like,
right.
It's like, that is kind of,
give
I mean,
her
what
a
is
referral to the Disney Channel, move her to the kids section.
Right. Like, what is child trafficking? What
if, well, when you watch any of the clips of him speaking to Congress about child trafficking, what he always says is like, I saw it firsthand. What I think is wild. Mm? Yes. He'll be like, I saw firsthand the kids being taken advantage of by Hollywood at large. And
So, like, do you, like, I guess
I think
the question-
he's, like, I think he's doing a sort of, what's the phrasing I'm looking for?
Subconscious. Like, he's subconsciously doing penance for making out with a 14-year-old on television.
Yes, and it's like, this was child trafficking, this was theater.
Or he's like, I also was being trafficked into making out with a child.
Right.
Like, I was just a pawn in this machine because I also... needed to make money for my family. And he's drawing a line between himself and the powers that be. But unfortunately for him, he's got a bunch of clips floating around the internet where he's buying into a 14-year-old as a sex symbol, hook, line, and sinker. Right. So it's going to be a hard sell for him to even if that is what he's going to try to say.
Ashton, you're a part of it, actually.
He has been a part of it. I mean, we've all watched That 70s Show. We've seen that
she happening. Was a kid.
I'm sure even if he did raise some objections to the idea of kissing a 14-year-old, even if he said that to his bosses, they would be like, well, that's what we wrote. You're acting, so act, you know, like,
right.
Let me read about, and I would be interested, and we're not going to know this, but I would be interested to know if his child trafficking thing is conscious or unconscious. Like, does he see himself as someone
who... Well, look at
who,
the charts. The charts will tell.
Yeah, we will on the Patreon. We're going to do the charts. But before we switch over to the Patreon for the charts.
Yeah.
I just got to read this from CBS News because I said I would. And I want to relive this because I totally forgot about it. Mila Kunis and Ashton Kutcher are rich, but their kids are poor. That's what they'll tell them, at least, Kunis says. The actress said on an Australian podcast, The Kyle and Jackie O Show, that she and her husband want their children to understand the value of a dollar. The one topic of conversation we had, even prior to ever having kids, was always, how do you raise a child to not be an asshole? She said, it's so important because we both came from pretty solid poverty backgrounds and grew up very poor and are very much self-made and are very aware of what a dollar is worth. Nothing's been handed to us. She said she'll explain to daughter Wyatt and her younger sibling that they're not necessarily entitled to the money their parents earned. It's a matter of teaching them from a very early age that, you know, mommy and daddy may have a dollar, but you're poor. You are very poor. God. You have nothing. Mommy and daddy have a bank account. This is insane. This is an insane parenting choice, I would say.
I feel like everybody just pause and go to, you don't even need to, we don't need to call it rehab. We don't have to call it, but like, you know, what's the one on the cliffs of the Big Sur?
Esalen.
Yeah, thank you for knowing what I mean. No, we're
I know.
Moon Sun Connections, Soul Fam. We we know about Esalen. We know about Esalen. I'm tickled. But no, take just like a beat and go to Esalen and detox and sit in the nude pools and talk it out. I feel like so much of what we're seeing from Mila and Ashton is almost like a blacking out almost of what they've been through.
It's giving trauma bond a little bit.
It's giving a trauma bond. It's like they've been there together in this trauma bonded relationship to maybe Hollywood or like to money.
Yeah, I think the thing that really shocks me about that quote, and I'm trying not to take it at face value because, you know, we all love Mila Kunis, I think is safe to say. She gives great interviews. She's funny. She's a funny, dry wit. We love her. I want to give her the benefit of the doubt and think she's joking when she says to her kids, mommy and daddy are rich, but you're poor, because that is like some evil shit. Like I want to believe that they don't.
That's
say
like
that
immigrant trauma,
I guess. But like my mom always told me that we didn't have enough money when I was growing up, and objectively, we did. We had a house, we had food, we were fine. But my mom always, we don't have enough money. We don't have enough money. We don't have enough money. And like it just gives you, we were definitely not the richest people in town by a long shot.
But you are from Bayhead.
Yeah. And we're fine. fine. We've always been fine. Yes, the electricity got turned off once or twice. I think that was because of their undiagnosed ADHD more than anything else.
1,000%.
I don't think it's because they physically didn't have the money to pay the bill. But my point is, when you tell your kids that they are broke or they are poor, oh my God, the damage that that does to your mindset.
It breaks my heart. It makes me feel so like...
It's you're just building in a scarcity mindset into your children. It's like, it's so not okay. Like, why do you want your kids to think they're poor? It's not going to make them work harder. It's going to make them pissed off and resentful at the people who they see as richer than them. Like, when you're a kid, you know that other people are richer than you, but you should, as a parent, be saying to your kid, just because little Susie's family has a Range Rover and an in-ground pool, it doesn't mean that we're poor. They just have, you know what I mean? Like, it is so psychotic.
1,000,000,000%
living off of sitcom residuals and telling your kids that they're poor. That is like disturbing to me.
Right. Like, no, I think that she thinks that in her not gifting her children the lifestyle that they actually are born into, that she's doing some recreate of why she's successful.
Right, but it is. Right. There is no way to create the exact conditions that made her into a star. And like, what's the point of losing your youth in the workforce and getting rich off of it to then make your kids believe that they're poor?
Because you guys will also be like us and make your own way instead of going, hey, in order to make this way, we sacrificed a huge part of our souls.
And youth.
Boundaries.
Really annoys me the most about like rich people is, and I'm counting myself in this because I do believe that I am rich. I think it's very important. If you have a house and you have food, you're rich in the grand scheme of the world.
Truly.
You're fucking rich.
Yeah.
But the thing that really annoys me is when people are rich and they do try to manufacture hardship for their children because they're not going to. Like, even if Mila and Ashton, and they're not going to do this. I guarantee you're not going to do this. If they make their kids work at a restaurant every summer from the time they're 14, they're not going to do it because it would be a waste of time because they're already rich. But even if they did do that and they said, you have to live like a lower middle class lifestyle, blah, blah, blah. They're still Mila Kunis and Ashton Kutcher's children. And you cannot take away the nepotism factor, no matter how much hardship you manufacture for your children. Like,
I agree.
People that I grew up with who, like, you know, they would be like, oh, well, my parents didn't want to hand me anything, so I had to work to buy a car. And it's like, oh, how much did you save up? And it's like, well, I saved $5,000 and my parents matched it. And I'm like, okay, so you didn't... You didn't buy the car.
Mash it is like, okay.
Yeah, like you didn't buy the car yourself. Like, just shut up. Just let your kid, like, why are you, I don't know. I had to work from the time I was 14 and it was a fucking waste of time. My parents should have given me money and sent me to internships and camps that made me smarter. But instead I was fucking raking the beach. What did that teach me? Do you know how much farther you would be in your career if you didn't have to spend summers cleaning a fucking fry trap? Like,
well, it's almost like Mila and Ashton are both in this weird rebellion against their own success.
Yes. That's what annoys me. It's like, no, you did it. You got out. You got out of poverty. Yes, your kids should not be spoiled, entitled monsters, but they're not. Your kids are not poor. They're not going to be lower middle class. You can't manufacture the conditions.
Are you guys fucking tripping? You're two of the most famous people on the planet. Ashton, you were married to Demi.
I know. I was going to say the Ashton-Demi relationship. We can't even get into it because it's a whole nother thing. Talk about an age gap. And listen to friend of the pod, Sandy Ritchie, came on back when this was Diva Behavior and we did Demi's memoir, which is one of the best Hollywood memoirs I've ever read, go back and listen. But let's switch over to the Patreon now and get into the astrology so we can actually figure out why these people are like this.
Yeah, we need to figure out what's going on. Please join the Patreon, patreon.com/spacetrashpodcast. And we're going to consult the stars to see what's actually going on with the stars.
Wow, how have we never thought to say that before? That was great.
Space trash.
Trash in space.
Space trash.
Lifestyles, the rich and Uranus.
Space trash.
Celebrities, they're trash, but the astrology can help us understand.
Transmission incoming.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.